Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Jennifer Daniels, and you are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit Amazon.com. Murder by Medicine is no accident. Be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniels' new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine is No Accident, The Lethal Dose. So get your personal Kindle edition, and that way you'll no longer have to fumble and stutter as you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. It even gave my editor goosebumps. So I welcome your calls and questions, so please call in at 914-338-0695. So today's show, The Genome Fraud, is, you might call it an editorial. In other words, it's what I've concluded by looking at the evidence. And every time I dig deeper, I always find the unexpected. I mean, I never imagine that things are exactly as they are. So I'm going to share this with you, and I just want to remind you that a lot of what you've been hearing, you heard here first. For example, the fact that many breast cancer diagnoses are not really breast cancer. The Journal of the American Medical Association came out and said that many women are getting mastectomies for conditions that would never shorten their life, and they decided to rename aggressive prostate cancer and call it benign progressive hypertrophy. So basically, that eradicates the diagnosis of prostate cancer and calls it, what you heard here, a figment of the imagination. So what's happening today? Well, as I said, I'm going to give my own interpretation of what I've noticed in my life from the perspective of a physician, and a little bit of what's in the literature. But really, things are kind of coming together, and it's a very sharply focused picture. So it ties together many issues that were thought to be unrelated. So we need to review a little bit about the genome project and what's a genome, just kind of basic stuff so everyone's on the same page. By the way, anything you hear is definitely does not reflect any views of the station, Blake Radio, and I personally accept no responsibility, liability, or whatever for how you might choose to use the information. Okay, so let's go. The genome, as I said, project was completed in 2003. And the Human Genome Project was a 13-year project coordinated by the United States Department of Energy, which is shocking. Why would the Energy Department be handling health? Whatever. And the National Institutes of Health. In the early years, the Wellcome Trust, that's Burroughs Wellcome, a very large pharmaceutical giant, was a very big research partner, and they actually got the U.S. government involved. And the important feature of the Human Genome Project is the federal government's long-standing dedication to the transfer of technology to the private sector. What does that mean? Anything they find, they're going to license to the private sector for profit. It's not going to be available in the public domain. They're going to win grants for innovative research, and the project, of course, like I said, was catalyzed by the multi-billion-dollar U.S. biotechnology industry to foster the development of new medical applications. So why not keep all technologies in the public domain? I mean, after all, the public funded it. Why should the NIH operate as a publicly funded research arm of biotechnology? I mean, if private citizens' tax dollars are funding it, should all the technology be in the public domain? Or shouldn't there be a biotechnology tax on all products made from the advances as a way to repay the taxpayers? Kind of like the hotel room tax to repay tourism investments made by government to benefit the pool industry. So these are some questions that I ask. So you are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at LakeRadio.com. Please visit Amazon.com and get your copy of Murder by Medicine. It's no accident. Be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniels' new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine. It's no accident. And you no longer have to fumble and stutter as you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. As always, I welcome your calls and questions, so please call in at 914-338-0695. So during the call, I'll take questions about the topic, and then at the end of the call, questions about whatever people want to ask questions about. Okay. So the true reason behind the Genome Project is to create even more profits for the biotechnology industry, which is the handmaiden to the murder of at least 808,000 Americans each year. And in my book, you'll find it's closer to 851,000. This would be akin to Iraq funding the U.S. military, not a benefit to the taxpayers of Iraq. Now, the genetically modified human is something that really hasn't been talked about or looked at. And it turns out that evolution is not what we were told it was. So let's get that one out on the table. It turns out that your genes can be influenced and changed by, one, your life experiences, two, the chemicals you ingest, three, the food you eat, four, electromagnetic frequencies, and DNA, RNA, and protein particles that are in your blood. Now, this is incredible news. This means that the rate of genetic evolution or change the human organism can literally be sped up by light years by simply controlling or altering the chemicals and viruses that the human is exposed to during their lifetime. So genes can actually be altered many times during a lifetime, and it does not take a sexual separation and recombination of DNA to create a change, or we can say mutation, in the DNA structure. And this is something that's now well accepted. So your DNA can change very quickly. And this is why you can have two parents who are slender, trim, fit, and alert, and they can have a child who maybe was normal at birth but grew up to be overweight, dull, and out of shape. So these genetic modifications can occur really in a blink, and that is the new information that you need in order to make better decisions about your health. So are genes the determining factor? They're part of the determining factor, but genes are like the direction a car goes in. There are a lot of things influencing the car, you know, the pressure on the accelerator, pressure on the brake, how the steering wheel is being turned, whether or not there's gas in the tank. So the human being is the same way, the human genome. And it turns out vaccines can and do alter genes. And these alterations can and do harm you. So these things also, as I said, alter your genetic material. It's important as a strategic political posture to blame illnesses on genes and not to blame genes on illness. You see how that works? To reverse the cause and effect is a critical factor in thought manipulation. So it creates a dead end for the mind and leaves the subject of the manipulation looking for an expert for clarification. One example of this is criminal behavior. It has been proven many times that dietary changes greatly reduce, even eliminate, recidivism. That means committing more crimes. Yet, we see genetic theories offered for this. A genetic theory means that the individual is powerless to influence it. and it only surrender to experts, and we only have to build more prisons, you see. So let's try another one, hypertension. It has no cause, but it causes heart disease. Now, this kind of puts you right into a dead end. Nothing causes hypertension, but hypertension causes heart disease. A more useful theory is that heart disease causes hypertension, and diet can and does cure it. So when we switch our cause and effect, we can actually get somewhere, get some more control over our lives, and increase our health. So by reversing the cause, which we are given, and the effect, which the media tells us, we get important control and truly advances the resolution of the problem, which is, of course, not only our health, but the fact that 851,000 Americans every year die at the hands of the healthcare system. You are listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit Amazon.com and get your copy of Murder by Medicine is No Accident. Be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniels' new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. Get your personal Kindle edition. You no longer have to fumble and stutter as you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. It even gave my editor goosebumps. A great read. As always, I welcome your questions. Please call in at 914-338-0695. Now, one thing we've really overlooked is childhood infant immunizations. And apparently, there's a substantial amount of evidence to suggest that immunizations actually alter the genetic makeup of people who receive them. This is shocking. Now, one source from the Journal of Epidemiology, this is 1997, and Department of Medicine, Wellington School of Medicine, New Zealand. And what they did is they took a look at 1,265 children born in 1977. The 23 children who received no diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus vaccine and no polio immunizations had no recorded asthma episodes or consultations for asthma or other allergic illness before age 10 years. In the immunized children, 23% had asthma episodes, 22% asthma consultations, and 30% consultations for other allergic conditions. Now, similar differences were observed at ages 5 and 16 years, suggest that these changes are persistent. These findings do not appear to be due to differential use of health services or confounded by racial background, parents' economic status, or parental allergies, or parental smoking. So, it appears that getting immunizations is altering these children genetically so that they are actually producing antibodies against food and against their own lungs. Very interesting. And it was indexed in PubMed. Now we have the Asthma Foundation. You would think the Asthma Foundation would definitely come down the side of genetics, but the Asthma Foundation says no one really knows the cause of asthma, but we do know there are links to both genetics, your family history, and the environment. We also know some of the factors that contribute to someone developing asthma early in life. So, factors are genetic, having a parent with asthma, in other words, an immunized parent, if you want to look at it that way, all this increases the child's risk of developing asthma. So, what's the mechanism? Well, humans have, and viruses have, something called reverse transcriptase. Now, reverse transcriptase, well, first of all, let's go over the basic genetic evolution theory, is that we have genes called DNA, and these DNA produce RNA. The RNA produces proteins, and then the proteins control our behavior. And so with that model, you've got a one-way process where the genes influence what's going on in a person's life, but what's going on in a person's life does not influence the genes. Well, now we know that there's something called reverse transcriptase. And now it's been determined that humans naturally have reverse transcriptase. So this means that a healthy human being can reverse this process and the proteins can go backwards, becoming RNA and influencing DNA. And this ability to do this is possessed by proteins the body makes, and it's also possessed by proteins the body does not make. So new, different foreign proteins in the environment, once they enter your body, either through your food, through chemicals you've eaten, through vaccination, all these proteins or viral fragments that enter your body can alter your genetic makeup because there's reverse transcriptase, not only in your body naturally occurring, but in the vaccine itself. So this means that genetic material, which is DNA, can be made from non-DNA material, like RNA or proteins. This is huge. This means if you eat some protein, let's say drink some milk that has recombinant bovine growth hormone in it, that recombinant bovine growth hormone can actually change and alter your DNA. So this becomes now a two-way street. And so this is really shocking. So when you have a severe emotional trauma, for example, your body produces lots of fear proteins. For example, depending on who you talk to, these attach to the DNA and make it more likely you'll make a huge fright reaction more easily, or they actually change the DNA directly, which it is, really doesn't matter, because the point is a life experience can alter your DNA for a long time, and it can alter the DNA of your children, what you pass on to your children. So this is really shocking. And so a person with a alarming, traumatic experience, called PTSD, for the political correct here, has been genetically altered to easily produce the fright response. Any DNA change can be passed on, of course, to one's children. This is why it's so important to get as many gene/DNA-altering experiences into a person as soon as possible before reproductive age and continue them as long as possible. So obviously, if you're trying to genetically modify a human being, you want to create gene-altering experiences as early in life as possible, so you can be sure when this person reproduces, these genetic changes will be passed on to the next generation. And this is genetically modifying the human being. Now, the Hindus believe that changes caused by emotional experiences persist for several generations. And so you can say, oh, this is nonsense, you know, superstition. But when you realize that emotional experiences can alter DNA, then you realize, well, wait a minute now. So this DNA gets altered, it keeps getting passed on for seven generations. Interesting. Now, if I were a Hindu spiritualist or spiritual leader, I would say, and of course, this can be reversed by following my instructions and mine alone. So you can imagine how much power this gives the Hindu priest. But we're not going to go there. What we are going to do, though, is realize that these genetic changes can be reversed. And that's the power of it. And that's why it's so important for children to get vaccines at a very early age and very frequently. Because once that's done, the genetic changes are more likely to persist. So there's a Dr. Ho who feels that genetic modification fundamentally interferes with the natural genetic modification that organisms undergo in order to survive. This is basically something called evolution. So under natural circumstances, this is done in real time as an exquisitely precise molecular dance of life. But what's happening is this evolutionary process is being artificially manipulated, and I believe deliberately so, for various reasons, mostly station identification. You're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit Amazon.com and get your copy of Murder by Medicine is No Accident. Be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniels' new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. And get your first, your personal edition. Now you'll no longer have to fumble and stutter as you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. Even gave my editor goosebumps. A great read. As always, I welcome your questions and calls. Please call in at 914-338-0695. Now, genetic engineering, which assumes that one protein determines one particular trait, such as herbicide tolerance or insect resistance, and can easily be swapped out with another with no other effects, is very simplistic. In fact, it's an illusion. So if you swap out one gene, we know that it can change a lot of things, like Down syndrome. being caused by just a change in one gene. So we know that one gene can have a lot of effects. So an organism's genome is not static, but it's fluid, and its changes really can change from minute to minute. And so its biological functions are interconnected with its environment and vice versa, such that trying to control genetic changes via artificial modification, you know, it can be a dangerous game, but I think the people who are playing this game are willing to take that chance with our lives. They've taken a look at it. They feel that it's worth it. The profits are just huge, 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 and our government is funding it. Now, the rationale and impetus of genetic engineering, Dr. Ho believes, is essential dogma that assumes DNA carries all the instructions for making an organism. Individual genetic messages in DNA are faithfully copied to RNA. It's then translated to a protein via genetic code. Now, the protein determining a particular trait, such as herbicide intolerance or insect resistance, if it were really as simple as one gene, one trait, genetic modification would work perfectly. Unfortunately, this simplistic picture is just simply not true. It's an illusion. So instead of linear causal change leading from DNA to RNA to protein and downstream biological functions like impetus, physical strength, intelligence, complex feed-forward and feedback cycles interconnect organisms and environment at all levels to mark and change RNA and DNA down to generations. So organisms work by intercommunication at every level and not by this dominant one-way control of the DNA. So in order to survive, the organism needs to engage in natural genetic modification in real time. That means like right now or in the next 30 minutes. And there's an exquisitely precise molecular dance of life in which the RNA and DNA respond to and participate fully in the biological functions of changing the DNA. So this is why organisms and ecosystems are particularly vulnerable to the crude, artificial genetically modified RNA and DNA created by human genetic engineers. And these things are put in vaccines. Vaccines are filled with RNA and DNA and virus fragments themselves. And, you know, some people who believe we should take action to ban all environmental releases of GMOs now, I think that that's a start, but I think that there's a lot more going on than that. So you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Show channel at blakeradio.com. Please visit amazon.com and get your copy of Murder by Medicine is No Accident. Be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniels' new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. Get your personal Kindle edition. You no longer have to fumble and stutter as you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. It even gave my editor goosebumps. A great read. So, of course, I welcome your calls and questions, so please call in at 914-338-0695. Now, another question is, well, what about the genes for longevity? Well, aren't they going to find some genes to help us live longer, you know, and help us all out, you know, like hook a sister up? Well, in gerontology, in 2001, it's important, this is 2001, how far back I had to go to find a study that even attempted to look at longevity genes. What they said is the Department of Medicine and Diabetes Research at Albert Einstein College in Bronx, New York. They said over the last 30 years, a number of genetic and environmental factors that lead to decreased length of life have been identified. Unfortunately, much less progress has been achieved in identifying genes associated with longevity that protect from common diseases and slow the aging process. So, recent compelling evidence supports a role for important genetic and environmental interactions on longevity in lower organisms. In other words, genes alone cannot make you live longer. You need some environmental issues or factors to conspire with the genes for longevity. So commonality, molecular biological processes, evolutionary arguments, and epidemiological data, this is a lot of big words for scientific information, which strongly suggests that similar mechanisms also apply to humans. The completion of Human Genome Project and the rapid innovation of technology will make possible the identification of human longevity genes. And this article reviews such evidence. So they go on to talk about it, and it's really just a suggestion. Somehow, it's not been nailed down. So it means that longevity is what happens when environmental factors such as diet, the percent of oxygen in the air, eating foods not adulterated by man with chemicals and no gene splicing or GMO foods. So how can we get what we want from nature without giving nature what she wants? How can we get something for nothing? How can we get great flavor from stale food? Of course, the answer is you can't. So if you take stale food and you put in artificial flavoring and artificial coloring to make it appear like it's not stale, it will actually cause illness, it will cause diseases, and this doesn't work. So if you want fresh food, you have to eat fresh food. But what's happening is evolution, as we're taught, takes millions of years. I'd like to suggest that evolution, as it's now proceeding, like other processes, is moving at warp speed. A lot of evolution is taking place in less than a lifetime. This is why we see new diseases, new illnesses, new disabilities. So the food we eat, the vaccines we ingest, and the chemicals we ingest, whether it's food additives or water contaminants, are all modifying our genetic makeup. The genetic material is changing at such a pace that the Genome Project could only serve two purposes. Because, of course, the genome is going to be totally different in, you know, 3 to 5 years. It's not going to be the same genes because the evolution is moving so quickly. So first it's going to happen. Our first purpose of the Genome Project, one, disease creation by finding genes with such a high frequency that declaring their mere presence a disease will classify 100% of humans in need of at least one drug. So that's one purpose. The other purpose is to link genes to traits and apply chemicals to alter those traits, as in adding certain chemicals to a woman so her offspring will have certain genetic and phenotypic or emotional characteristics. This, combined with government standardized schooling, will guarantee a certain uniformity of outcome. One can, for example, breed for servants, people who only want to follow orders at whatever level. Someone who would not ever decide to use their creativity. For example, a maid who wants to clean at the discretion of a master. A judge who only wants to render verdicts as he is told. A doctor who only wants to follow the standard of care. An engineer who would not question the wisdom of putting poison in the public water supply. These people are actually hard to find, and world governments do not have enough of them. So have you wondered why vaccinations are required for school? Well, only a properly modified mind could receive the stuff they are teaching. An intact mind would have too many questions. The conditioning would not take. So the goal here with this frequent early vaccination is to genetically modify humans. Once genetically modified, the traits are passed to subsequent generations. When the definition of the disease is such that there is no limit to the amount of drugs that can be applied, and at no point can it be said the disease is cured or gone. So it's necessary when inventing the next disease that it have no endpoint where medicine would be stopped. Only the patient's desire to be released from the fear instilled by the disease marketing campaign or the doctor's sales skills would be a limiting factor, because disease is defined as having certain genes. And so if a person has certain genes, then obviously they need the medications for the rest of their life. Because, of course, they're told and they're taught to believe that genes don't change. Now, an example of this is a woman getting a mastectomy due to a gene she's carrying. The test, a genetic test, is absolute. It never changes. It's never cured. Having a gene is a disease. Theoretically, an endless series of therapies can be proposed because the basis of therapy is the presence of the gene. You're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at blakeradio.com. Please visit amazon.com and get your copy of Murder by Medicine is No Accident. Be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniels' new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. You no longer have to fumble and stutter as you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. Even gave my editor goosebumps. A great read. As always, I welcome your calls and questions, so please call in at 914-338-0695. So the target of the genetically modified organisms is not the animal or the food, but the human. So I'll say that again. The target of the GMO campaign is not the animal or the food, but the human being consuming that animal, consuming that food. Which you realize is it makes perfect sense. For example, recombinant bovine growth hormone increases the production of milk, which is already in excess supply. But it increases the amount of sick men and women, which are not in excess supply, according to the drug companies. Another example is a patient in my medical practice who had an IQ of 70, so low she could not remember to use the bathroom and was constantly soiled. Removing chemicals from her diet caused her to speak with greater clarity and even eloquence, superior to that of her mother, who was of normal intelligence. She made better decisions and, of course, stopped wetting her pants. And this is the incredible effect that external genetic factors can have. And this child was diagnosed as being retarded, from the age, really from birth. They just told her mother, well, you got a dumb one here. Another example, as I mentioned, is GMO food. Does not increase crop yields, doesn't reduce pesticide use, but it does increase revenue from sick people. So I'm suggesting the true target of GMO activity is the human. The true goal is to genetically modify the human being. You're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul channel at blakeradio.com. Please visit amazon.com and get your copy of Murder by Medicine is No Accident. Be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniels' new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. You no longer have to fumble and stutter as you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. A great read. I welcome your calls and questions, so please call in at 914-338-0695. Now, I got a question for you. This is my question. Once a human is modified genetically, who owns it? Does the corporation or the person holding the patent on the genetic change then own the person who has been modified, with or without his consent? That's an interesting concept. I mean, if we look at the legal decisions indicating that companies with genetically modified organisms actually owned the field that they contaminated, then what we're reaching for is when a person is genetically modified through vaccines, through food additives, through chemicals, through eating genetically modified food itself, then do they become the property of the drug company? I think this requires a tremendous amount of consideration, and I think this is really the end game. And with present-day torture techniques, we know that consent can easily be manufactured. With the compulsory laws concerning vaccination and water fluoridation, we know consent can be obtained by force and deceit. The real issue, then, is one. This is not a bunch of separate issues. So feeding antibiotics to animals, genetically modifying animal feed, putting food additives in food, compelling vaccines at any age, especially before childbearing years, is all aimed at genetically modifying the human, making a more profitable harvest for the medical industry. And, so you wonder, why would the government go for this? And a more obedient subject for the government. This is important because, you need something to explain the motive. Why would the government get so behind all this? Why would they just, with such eagerness and enthusiasm, say, hey, go for it. Vaccinate these kids. Do this. Yay, yay. It's because the government benefits tremendously by having obedient subjects. You're going to have people who will limit themselves to doing things like voting every 4 years. So what is there to do? What is a man to do? Well, the first thing is to recognize that genetically modified organisms or genetically modified food is the same as chemical additives, is the same as pesticides, is the same as genetically modified medications. But you didn't know that most insulin is genetically modified. A lot of other medications are genetically modified. So people who would never eat genetically modified food are taking genetically modified pills and medications. And chemtrails are all branches of the same tree. These are all branches of efforts to genetically modify you, the human being, so you could be a more obedient subject of the government. And so that, not only that, but if you get your genetic modification or intervention before your reproductive years, then you're going to give birth to a genetically modified individual. And this is very, very important. And I'll tell you a few things that I noticed happened when I was growing up. I have there's six kids in my family. There's 2 to 4 years between each child. And so my brother, who's 2 years younger than me, looks exactly like a famous basketball player. And I know for a fact my mother was not anywhere near this famous basketball player or their parents, and so the sharing of genes just was not really a possibility. They look exactly alike. So the question is, how did this happen? How could these two individuals look so similar? Of course, they're similar in age, but the similarity in their genetic stock, so to speak, is absolutely striking. Of course, Bob is very proud of this. So, oh, well, you know, we must be related to this famous basketball player way, way, way back when. All right, great. My brother's African-American. The basketball player is African-American. I'd like to suggest that it might be that that year they were handing out certain types of vaccinations. And so you had a large number of people who looked very similar. And I have another brother who's 8 years younger than that brother. He looks nothing like, really, the family at all. Probably a little bit. If you, you know, tilt your head, you can see the similarity. But he looked, from birth up to about 10 years old, he looked exactly like everybody else in the family. Then around 11, 12-ish, something happened. Totally changed. And he developed this unusual look. Then I started noticing all these people on TV that were about his age had this same look. And so I pointed out to my mother, I said, Mom, you know, Jason looks just like that guy. Of course, this time the guy was white. He wasn't black. And Mom says, oh, no, not possible, not possible. So the joke is that people of genetically different backgrounds could end up looking very similar just because they're exposed to the same genetically modifying experiences. Very interesting. And even personality-wise, you know, he has a much different personality. So it's very, very interesting in terms of the possibilities of genetic modification. And again, the end game is genetically modifying the human. All these other things are just distractions. It's like any good magician. You get someone's eye on one thing over here, then you're really doing something over there. So you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels on the Rainbow Soul Channel at BlakeRadio.com. Please visit Amazon.com. The Murder by Medicine is no accident. Be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniels' new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine is No Accident, and get your personal edition so you no longer have to fumble and stutter as you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. It even gave my editor goosebumps. A great read at Amazon.com, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. And we can take questions now. People have questions. They can just push the little question button. So I welcome your calls and questions. Please call in at 914-338-0695. Now, so once you've recognized that GMO food and chemicals and additives and pesticides and even GMO medications are really, and chemtrails are all branches of the same tree, simply an attempt to genetically modify you to make you a more profitable and obedient subject, then you can take the next step, which is to avoid all of these things. And support by your actions and your avoidance, the eradication of all of these. Now, there's something called organic. We've talked about this before, too, but it turns out because of the new definitions of organic, eating organic is not enough to avoid this, I guess you'd call it a plague. So what you can do is really grow stuff in your own backyard, eat the weeds that are already there, or cooperate with someone else to share food from each other's backyards. And it's really about the only way to do it, because there's the certification as applied by the government is just not, it's not enough. It's not enough to provide the help and the protection that you need. So we have a question here. Let's click here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Uncle Rick.
Oh, hi, Uncle Rick.
How are you?
Pretty good. What's your
this
question?
This is astounding. This is astounding. This blows up so many possibilities that my mind is absolutely blown. There was a doctor by the name of Hamer, Dr. Dirk Hamer, I think, who claimed his cancer, his testicular cancer, was caused by the murder of his son.
Uh-huh.
And so what you're saying confirms that definite possibility that this trauma to his mind caused his cancer. Now, I could never reconcile anything he said with you know what I knew about cancer, but now it all makes sense. Now, what next thing I'm wondering on your opinion, is race genetically determined? Maybe race.
When you
is
say
not,
race, you mean the complexion of somebody's skin?
Yeah, you know, black, white, I don't know, Asian, whatever. There's a huge debate going on among a lot of people over race. There is no definition of race that I can find. But there's a huge debate going on over the race of certain people all over the world. And some are saying that these people are not a part of a race, but they're just a tribe of people. And so I'm just wondering what your take on that might be. If all these other things are, that are not absolutely determined by DNA, then maybe race is also environmentally determined in some kind of way.
Right, exactly. It's a two-way street. That's the point. The race, the environment determines genes. The genes determine the proteins. And so a lot of what we see is more than simply genetics. All right, so I'll answer that. That's a good question. All right, well, the question is race genetically determined? And so the question is, well, when are you talking about? And a long time ago, let's go back a few thousand years, evolution or genetic change happened at a very slow rate. And people did not move around at a very fast rate. So a person in a particular environment would have certain stimulation that would cause a certain type of genes, and some of those code for physical features or skin color. And those people, once they move or relocate, their genes don't change. And so they still, when they have sex with other people who are different from them, the offspring will have features of both. So the answer is yes. Race, in terms of what I call race, the color of a person's skin and the physical features are definitely controlled by genes, but those genes most likely were created by environment. So it's very, very interesting. So this is why people who have, say, very white skin live in very north climate with little sun, whereas people who live where there's lots of sun tend to have darker skin, because over time, their genes interact with the sun and say, hey, wait, we need a little bit of color here in the skin to make a bit of a screen here. And that's the variation. So you need to really think of it as a two-way street. And once you can get your mind around the fact it's a two-way street, then you can understand why it's so important to immunize a kid right at birth, why it's so important to immunize a kid again and again and again and again and again, because the attempt here is to create a genetic modification, and that modification, you want it to last. definitely at least until the person reproduces. So now you've got a second generation that's genetically modified. And that's personally what I'm observing in terms of children who are vaccinated and their relationship to their parents. So if you have parents who are vaccinated prior to reproduction, there's a certain uniformity in their children. You know, their children are generally pretty fearful, generally afraid of change. You know, just these are just generalizations. And the children are very untrusting of the parents. I found that very interesting. But the thing to understand is that since your environment impacts your genetic makeup, that gives you a bigger responsibility to control your environment, a bigger responsibility to control what chemicals you actually allow in your body, because you could be literally determining your genetic makeup and how you're going to feel and how you're going to think over the next 3 to 5 years. Now, that's the bad news. Of course, the good news is most of this genetic modification doesn't stick. What do I mean? What I mean is if you eat GMO food and then you stop eating GMO food, the genetic modification will reverse itself. It will work its way out. And so that's a very important thing to get a hold of. And so this means, since you can actually influence your genes by what you eat, by the chemicals you allow in your body, that means that all is not hopeless. And, you know, you really can make some changes there and have a tremendous impact in terms of lessening your frequency of asthma, of diabetes, of hypertension, of arthritis, all these things that have a hereditary component or a genetic component. So that's really, really important. That's, I find, one, it's so important that, you know, it's worth doing. It's worth taking a stab at. The next thing is that it's so important that people realize that the vaccine movement, the GMO movement, the organic, get the chemicals out the food movement, all of these things, the chemtrail movements, all of these things are really related and linked together. Whereas even I used to say, oh, you know, vaccine people, that's an important issue, but I really can't get involved in that right now. I really don't feel like I want to mention that. Whereas actually, by getting people to each pick their one issue, the battle is immediately lost. It's immediately lost. Because you say, oh, you know what, I'll eat GMO food, but I'm not going to get vaccinated, or something like that. So it's important to realize that this genetic evolution is a two-way street. The genetic evolution is happening very quickly, just right under our nose in real time. Like if you look at the comics, they have this comic strip of a caveman walking stooped over, and then he gets upright, and then he starts wearing a suit, and then he stoops again over the computer. Well, how long did it take, man, to go from standing upright to now being all stooped over because he's using a computer? You know, not very long. It didn't even take a generation. It was very, very quick. I'm only 56, and I'm telling you, when I was a kid, children were fit, they were trim, they were athletic. An overweight kid was a rarity. And so just in less than a lifetime, all of these genetic changes have taken place. And it's because evolution has been sped up artificially by the introduction of these chemicals. And so that's what people really have to pay attention to, is that evolution is going at a very, very quick pace, and that they are being genetically modified for someone else's convenience, basically the convenience of the government, who would like to have you, you know, obediently submit to various intrusions on your person and your privacy. And by drug companies who would like to create chemicals for you to ingest and create even more genetic modification. So that's really what's going on. And so you need to be aware of it so you can just really take the bull by the horns. And one way to find out about it, of course, is to get my book, The Lethal Dose, Why Your Doctor is Prescribing It. This Murder by Medicine is No Accident. Either of those three phrases will get you the book on Amazon. And so if as many people as possible can be aware of this, then any person will do whatever they can do, then I think it's a good chance of really reversing this. Because the type of genetic modification right now that we're involved in is very crude. It is easily reversible. So if you find a way to reduce your exposure, then what's going to happen is your genetic modification will reverse, your health will improve, and the next generation will have a better chance. I mean, right now, they almost don't have a chance at all. And many people, like I said, they're looking at the wrong thing. They're looking at genetically modified organisms, not looking at the whole picture of the whole plan for genetic modification. For example, 9/11, the whole tremendous shock to people's system, that was a genetic modification move. That's what that was. And many people were permanently altered just by that experience. And so if people realize what's going on, and realize how they're being influenced, they can say, wait a minute, is this really the way I want it to happen? Is this how the story ends? So it's very important to look around you, to see what's going on, and understand that anything that touches you deeply is also altering your DNA, is also causing you to evolve. Now, I know many people who use this as an argument to simply stop watching the news. I personally believe that that's a pretty good strategy, actually. If there is something important on the news, you'll hear about it. But this is a concerted effort to create a continuous loop of genetic modification to get a particular outcome. And so that's why it's so important to pay attention to and to control the type of input and who has access to your mind. So that's really exciting. If there are other questions, you can push your little button there and I can answer. We have time for two or three more questions. Okay. It says Yvonne in Watertown.
Hi,
Yvonne.
Hi, Dr. Daniels. I was just wondering, I know we can stop eating the chemicals in our food and stop taking drugs and stop taking vaccinations, but I'm just about the chemtrails. What about that?
Good point, because with the chemtrails, you have to do all the others, and then you can do cleansing to get rid of the chemtrails. And I would also say about the chemtrails, do not be afraid to relocate, because that is a very strong, very powerful influence. So I would say first do the other things and then develop the habit of increasing your water, the habit of doing enemas, the habit of taking milk thistle or N-acetylcysteine, habit of taking things that keep an ongoing cleansing happening. But then when you're exposed to chemtrails, you're less likely to be as affected by them. But you should definitely aggressively cleanse. The only thing I found helpful cleansing with chemtrails is applying castor oil to your skin, and that really just pulls the chemicals right out. Any other questions? Okay, so yeah, that's a good. Some things are hard to avoid, and so what you have to do is cleanse after your exposure, and then avoid the exposure. And people need to take a look at the chemtrails as a part of attempts to genetically modify human beings. And once you see it that way, then it allows you to be more creative in terms of thinking of ways that you can alter your behavior, so that you can minimize the impact on you and on your neighbors. And there's a lot of things in the chemtrails, aluminum particles and other metal particles. You know, if you go on the internet, there's all kinds of things you can put up or put around your home to minimize the exposure. But it's a real problem. It's not imaginary. It's not fake. It really is happening. Hey, any other questions? So I just wanted to tell people to definitely stop by Amazon.com and check out the lethal dose while your doctor is prescribing it, and be the first in your circle to get Dr. Daniel's new Kindle book, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. You no longer have to fumble and stutter if you try to tell your loved ones of the medical dangers. It even gave my editor goosebumps. So it's a great read. Amazon.com, Murder by Medicine is No Accident. And as always, we have time for, well, not always, but right now we have time for one more question. 914-338-0695. So it's important to realize that this is not a futile event. There's something everybody can do. I know a lot of people, I remember when I was a kid, they'd say, oh, we got to band together, we got to work together. No, you don't have to. You can just do, you sit down and think about it and do whatever you think in your mind is reasonable to do. It may be a group activity, it may not, but you know, you need to take action and do something. You know, maybe it's boycott the regular medical system, don't show up. And once you figure out how to not show up, you can not put your money in. And these are all, you know, very important. It may seem to be a modest move. You're like, oh, geez, it's just one person not paying health insurance premiums. But it adds up very quickly because the profit margin of the health industry as a whole is only 5%. So every non-compliant person actually has a fairly large impact, especially when you realize that health insurance premiums are ranging between $1,000 and $5,000 a month. So your little action, whatever action you decide to take, is actually extremely, extremely important. I would encourage you to really step up to the plate, get creative, brainstorm with your friends or with yourself, and figure out what action you can take. Oh, wait, next week. Yeah, next week. The greatest good for the greatest number is no good for you. That's the title of next week's show. The greatest good for the greatest number is no good for you. This will get into how doctors are helped or instructed to rationalize the murder of 851,000 people. And we'll go over different greatest goods that we're told to follow. And these things lead to, of course, the greatest harm for the greatest number. So that's important next week. Also, people can email me at support@vitalitycapsules.com. That's support@vitalitycapsules.com. Let me know what type of topics you're interested in, and we can put them on the agenda for, you know, the future. All right. Thank you very much, and we'll see you again next week.